thank you so much for being here today. You may be seated. How about let Judah know that we really appreciate them here today. Amen. I want to say that I am just so honored to be here. And I say that without any hesitation at all. When Bishop called me, almost before he could get the question out his mouth, I was saying, yes, this is truly one of my favorite places. And my wife and I, Jackie, we just love this place, but we love the people. Gracious, I'm getting teary, but you have made us feel like part of your family. And we really do appreciate that. I woke up this morning with something that overwhelmed me. I've had it happen, not a lot, but when it does happen, it's just very gripping. I woke up and it was like, who am I that I could be honored to come and preach here to this great region? When I was in the Holy Land some years ago, I was invited to preach on the Mount of Beatitudes. And I was all excited until the time came. And then I got overwhelmed. Like, who do you think you are preaching on the same mountain that Jesus preached on? And I almost went to the director of the tour and said, I can't do that. I'm not worthy for that. And I woke up today, honestly, just feeling, who am I that God would allow me to do this? But I am excited today to be here very much. I want to encourage you. I was reading about the longest sermon that's ever been preached. And it was done by a guy by the name of Zach Zender. And he preached 53 hours and 18 minutes. He was 31 years old. He preached 53 hours, 18 minutes, 200 pages of notes, 600 PowerPoint slides. He started on Friday, and he finished on Sunday. And I'm here today to tell you Zach is going down today. We're going to... No. I'm telling you. I had asked the bishop, I said, how long? And he didn't approve 53 hours, so I'm not going there. I would like to say last night, one of my favorite preachers... Honestly, Dr. Culpepper is one of my favorite preachers of all time. And I do want to encourage you. He is not paying me any royalties, any book fees. But his commentaries, honestly, to get that for $40, I wouldn't be upset with you if you got up and went right now to the bookstore and got some before I got through preaching. Those books are extremely valuable. I hope that you'll take advantage of that. But he preached a mighty word last night. And to God be the glory. One thing the Church of God can be proud of is men like Dr. Culpepper. He has the ability to make you feel like that you're the most important person and most special. And his pedigree is so high and so wonderful, and yet still he makes us feel so good. But you also have a state bishop and his dear wife that just goes above and beyond to make sure that you're treated like royalty. And I tell you, last night when y'all recognized the CAMS and the MIP, candidates, graduates. I have been coming up here for years, but I got so excited over that. Bishop, you and the board, I applaud you. That was so impressive. That was absolutely a home run. It really was. I bring you greetings from Bishop Bruce Rabin, who is a very close friend with, I don't know who messed up who. But okay, I'll convey that to him. And to be honest with you, I would agree with that. I bring you greetings from our bishop, and I think he's in North Dakota preaching a camp meeting. I would like to also, where's Brother Fairbrother? Yeah. We now have one of your own, Brother Chad Fickett. He is our youth and discipleship director. And Art Fairbrother screwed that guy up, messed him up. I tell you what, he was sharing a little bit with me, and I believe Brother Chad might have needed a little help along the way there. And we praise God for them. I bring you greetings from Bethesda Church of God, and that church has been blessed because of you. And let me just explain, I was pastoring at my first church, and you might have heard this, many of you might have, but I just want to say it very quickly. And I was cutting grass, sweating, and our church might have been running 35, and everything that we did, you had to raise money for. And it was just tough. While I was cutting grass, I remember I stopped and I said, God, if you'll ever put me in a place where we have money, I'll make sure that I help someone else that needs help. So it took years. Literally, Jackie and I pastored for really about 20 years before we got to a place where a church actually had surplus. And I went to our council and I said, we've got to do it. We've got to help. I made a vow to God, and so our church started investing in northern New England. And here's what I told them. I said, that is fertile soil. I don't believe in just planting. I believe you need to plant where it's good soil. And so we planted. And the rest is history. I'm not going to go into all the details, but financially the church has been blessed. And I do not have enough time to go into all that, other than to say, you keep doing what you're doing, because as we plant into you, we're reaping. We're getting a benefit back, and we say to God be the glory for what he has done. Amen. Bishop Roy and Janice Tucker, I bet you are like a caged animal right now. He got to hear Brother Culpepper. He's heard his praise team. He's probably going, I wish Brother Sims would hurry and get out the way where I can get up there. I'm telling you, I believe you're ready to bring it tonight. And look, come expecting for God to do something super. Okay, I believe I've done about all of that I want to do at this time. But I do want to say I am honored. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 8. When Brother Culpepper was preaching last night, he started meddling on my sermon, and I was about to get up and rebuke him and tell him, quit preaching what you know. But some of the things that he was bringing out very much ties into the sermon that I have, but it let me know that the Lord had really directed me for this hour, for this moment. And I want to tell you this. I need everyone to listen before I read the text. I want you to listen very carefully. I had a guy who came up through my ministry, and he's now pastoring. But when he first started pastoring, his church was running 11. And he called me, and he said, "Brother Al," and he was kind of whining, and he said, "This is going bad, and that's going wrong," and he was just pouring his heart out. And when he got through, I said, "Brother, I love you, but if you can't take it with 11, you need to go and turn your credentials in, because it's not going to get better." Wow, what an encourager. But I said, the difference of 11 and 800, 900, 1,000 is that you have 11 problems here, you have 1,000 problems here. And I said, it's not going to get better. You either have the anointing on you to accomplish the job God has given you to do, or quit. And I want to just tell you, he took that godly rebuke, and he's pastoring, doing well. God is prospering him. But he decided not to look at the problem, but look at the problem solver. Amen. And the problem solver is there for us. Would you stand with me one more time? Judges chapter 8, verse 4. Here's what the word of God says. "And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him." And listen to this last part. "Faint, yet pursuing them." Faint, yet pursuing them. Father God, I pray in this time that you would anoint us to get this job done. Lord, it's an assignment, as Dr. Culpepper talked. And I pray that you would help me to fulfill the assignment. And dear God, that we would ever be empowered by your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. God bless you. You know, when we gather together, we ask these questions. How are you? How are you doing? And most of the time, the question is asked out of habit. Just to be honest, sometimes we don't really care what someone else is feeling, how they're doing. We're just moving from one place to the other. Isn't that right? And so many times we're not so interested in the reply, just a cultural courtesy. But if we were to be honest with our response, we would probably say, in our day and time, "I'm tired. I'm tired." Now, see, we men, we can't be tired because we're men, and men don't have weaknesses. Come on. Can I say an amen here? An amen right there? And so we get these responses, but I want to be honest with you today. I'm tired. I'm tired of COVID. I'm tired of Omicron. I'm tired of Delta. I'm tired of masks. I'm tired of hand sanitizers. I'm tired of arguments. Do you wear one? Do you not wear one? That's what Brother Culpepper was talking about. I heard one person say, he said, "I rebuke it in the name of Jesus." He didn't care. Wear it if you want to. Don't wear it if you don't want to. But I think we've gotten tired. I think that we also have gotten tired of, should I vaccine or should I not vaccine, and racial injustices. And I'm tired of death notices and funerals and hospitals. Tired of quarantines. And the truth is, many of us were already dealing with other issues before COVID ever arrived. Maybe some were dealing with marital issues and financial issues, emotional issues, political. We just got tired of life. And that can happen. And I want you to remember, you're not a bad person because you get tired. This text that I read said that they were pursuing, yet they got faint in pursuing. See, I'm tired of virtual school and virtual work, and no, you know, some of you became school teachers again. You had to, your children couldn't go into the classroom. You became an instructor, a tutor. And you might say, I'm not getting any break at all. I am just tired. So when I ask you how you're doing, you're probably going to say, I'm just tired. Now, in this passage of Scripture, we find that Gideon is tired because he was completing an assignment. God has called you and chosen you. And so he crossed over Jordan. And I want us to look at Joshua and the children of Israel crossing. The Jordan was a place of transition. It was a place that they passed from wandering into the promised land. It was a place of transition where they were living by miracles to now they are going to live in the promised land. When you've done all that you know to do, then what you need to do is just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But we must get to the place of promise. But getting to the place of promise, y'all work with me here, getting to the place of promise, sometimes you get tired before you get there. See, the Jordan was a place of transition for Elisha to receive the mantle of Elijah. Before he received it, they passed over the Jordan. The Jordan River was the place where Naaman transitioned from being a leper to a person with a testimony. The Jordan was the place where Jesus himself was baptized, and that's when his ministry was pronounced by God, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So the Jordan had a lot of famous and powerful things that happened at the Jordan. Today, somebody, I'm asking you to come to the spiritual Jordan, the place of transition. As Gideon and his 300 men come to the place of transition, after they cross over, he in essence is saying, we are hungry and we are exhausted. We're tired. We're fainting, but we're still pursuing. You see, their exhaustion was not from losing. Oh, someone's got to hear this. Their exhaustion was not from losing. It was from winning. Oh, my goodness. No, no. The devil's been beating me up. The devil's been wearing me down. This bad thing has happened. No. They were exhausted from winning. They weren't running away from their enemy. They were pursuing their enemy, yet still they got tired. Some of you have been chasing devils out of your church, out of your home, out of your community, out of your neighborhood, and sometimes you just get tired. Oh my goodness. So they are chasing their enemy and they are exhausted from winning. There is a whole other level of exhaustion from winners, because people do not expect winners to get exhausted. Amen. See, Pastor, you're not supposed to get down. Pastor's wife, you're not supposed to get upset because your husband is working 60, 70 hours a week. Come on, y'all, work with me. Youth pastors, you're not supposed to get exhausted because some of these children aren't listening to what you have been preaching. If you look at what is not happening, it will down you every time. You have to keep pursuing. You have to keep going forward. You have to keep looking because you're a winner. You're not failing, my Lord God. What God is doing through you is supernatural. It's something beyond what your natural eye can see, but He's doing it. So keep winning. Now, I just want to tell you, I don't know how competitive you are, but if you're more competitive than me, then you are in a bad shape. I was telling some folks recently, I said, our church softball team, we won. We won a lot. But one year, we got either a second or third place trophy. I don't know what it was. But anyway, the rec department called and said, we got a trophy here for you. And I said, okay. So they called again and said, somebody needs to come pick this trophy up. It's in our way. None of our team wanted it. Second place meant you were the first or the closest loser. Third place meant that you were two spots down. You were still a loser. We didn't want loser trophies. We wanted the one that said we were winners. I just want to tell you, my Lord God, I felt the anointing come in here. When God put His hand on you, the anointing that Brother Culpepper preached about last night, God ordained you and has made you a winner. And you must keep pursuing no matter how it feels physically. You've got to keep pursuing because you're winning. You're not losing. People see your smiles and your good works and the pouring out of yourself, pouring into others, so they assume you are tireless, invincible, the Energizer Bunny. But there is a whole different level of exhaustion when it comes to winning. The fact that you are alive tells me you're a winner. The fact that you're clothed and in your right mind tells me you're a winner. The fact that you are here today tells me you are a winner. Now, what got Gideon to this point? I want you to, this is one of the coolest stories of all the Bible. See, Moses got them out of bondage. Joshua got them into the promised land. And now they don't have a leader. Israel is without a leader. They needed a Gideon. Can I tell you, Northern New England needs Gideons. And your bishop cannot be the only Gideon. Your pastor cannot be the only Gideon. Your youth pastor cannot be the only Gideon. God has called you, Judah, and everyone else to rise up and be Gideons for the cause of Christ. So here they are, and they are needing a Gideon. They needed a Gideon because they were sheep, and sheep do stupid things. And I can speak that because I'm a sheep, and I have done some stupid things. Now, I might be the only one here today that's ever done a stupid thing, but I've done it. Some people, oh, don't call me a sheep, that's a dumb animal. Well, the great David, the King David, he wasn't ashamed of it. He said, in the word, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. So he was saying, I am a sheep. And I just want to tell you, Gideon was raised up because God said there's some sheep that need a leader. They need someone. So Gideon was willing. And so here's what happened. This was a bad situation. The Midianites, every time that Israel got ahead, the Midianites would come and take what they had. They would plant. They watered the crops. They weeded the crops. They prepared to celebrate. And in would come the Midianites and steal everything they had. And steal their crops, steal their animals, and they'd have to start all over. They would plant. They would water. They would weed. And just as the crops were coming in, here comes the Midianites again. And you might say, man, that would make me mad. But yet still years went by and they were allowing it to happen. How long are you going to sit here as a winner and let the devil keep robbing from you for what you've planted, what you've watered, what you have weeded, and yet still you sit back and say, well, I don't want to stir anyone up. I want to be politically correct. I want to make sure that everyone loves me because, you know, this person has money. And if I speak up against it, then they might quit giving in the offering. So listen, that's not a winner attitude. That you've already lost. It's time for us to step up and be the man, be the woman of God that God has called us to do. But they were getting ready to celebrate, and as they were getting ready to celebrate, they would be brought back to zero. The enemy has been stealing, but he won't be stealing another one. Someone needs to step up and say, right now it ends. I'm drawing a line in the sand. I don't have to be taken advantage of. I'm not going to be taken advantage of. So here's what happened. Why was this the last time? Because Israel cried out to the Lord. God sent Moses because Israel cried out to the Lord. David cried out to the Lord, and it says this, I cried out to the Lord, and he delivered me out of an horrible pit. Now that word or that phrase cried out doesn't mean that you're shedding tears. It means that from the pit of your stomach, from your innermost being, from the depths of your soul, you are petitioning God. It's not, I'm so sad, I'm sorry, and I'm no good. It wasn't that kind of cry. It was, dear God, we're turning to the only source of hope that we know. Oh, God, you've done it before, and I believe you can do it again. God, I'm crying out. I'm crying out. I need you. I need you today. So listen, they cried to the Lord, and he heard them. I'm here to tell you today that God heard their cry and he will hear your cry. Today is your day. This is your hour. You're not a loser. You're a winner. Someone speak that out right now. I'm a winner. I'm a winner. I'm a winner. Now, God had raised up a man named Gideon. And listen to this powerful man that God raised up. Gideon was hiding in a wine press. Okay? He basically had gone into a hole and he was threshing wheat. That's not where threshing wheat would take place. See, you didn't thresh wheat in a wine press. They generally would go to the mountaintop and thresh wheat, where there was a wind blowing and the wind would blow away the chaff. But no, the Midianites had been taken advantage of them so much that Gideon got into a hole and he was privately trying to thresh wheat so that he could bring it back to his family. I'm going to do this little bit of job where the Midianites can't take it from me. While he was there, while he was in a hole, an angel came to him and he said, "Hey, Gideon," now this is paraphrased, "Hey, Gideon, you mighty man of valor." Man, that'd make you feel good. Bishop, you mighty man of valor. All of a sudden, Gideon, yeah, that's not what happened. An angel said, "You mighty man of valor." And he basically said, "Who are you talking to? You talking to me?" He didn't even believe it. Look here. What's sad is when a winner doesn't think that they're a winner. What's sad when you have the ability, but you stay back because the devil has convinced you. You've been beat down so long. You're so tired that you just don't feel like you can win anymore. Oh my God. I believe God's going to put an anointing on each of us today. Start with me, God. And that our anointing is going to be so powerful that we will win in spite of what our mind tells us. We'll win. So he says, "Gideon, who are you talking about? Don't you see where I'm at? I'm hiding out and I'm frustrated." Gideon may have been frustrated, but he was working with what he had. Y'all need to mark that one. He didn't have much. He was frustrated. He was depressed. But he was working with what he had. That little bit of wheat, I'm going to take it home to my mom, to my family. That little bit of wheat, the Midianites are not going to get. And he was working with what he had. You see, we must learn to be faithful even when frustrated. The Bible says, "He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved." Yes, you may be frustrated and don't feel like teaching. You don't feel like preaching. You don't feel like greeting or ushering or praising. You don't feel like sitting and going to the house of God. But notice Gideon's response. His response was, "I have prayed and nothing's happened." Have you ever prayed for your finances and nothing happened? You ever prayed for healing and nothing happened? But notice Gideon is speaking to the angel, but he doesn't get a response to those questions. Don't let your questions and don't let your answers determine your yes. You've got to hear that one. I've had many questions, and if I waited for the answer to come, I'd have been left behind. There's been times, Bishop, I have just walked by faith. I've just kept doing what God has told me to do. There'd be times I'd be going, "God, I don't see any fruit of my labor. I don't see anything happening. I have prayed about this. I've fasted. I've sought you. Nothing is happening. But yet still, I kept doing what I knew I should do." Gideon is now again saying, "I'm going to do what I know I need to do." He's threshing the wheat. And notice in the text that Gideon says that he was exhausted. But his exhaustion, listen, it started from his yes. When God called you and you accepted him as your Savior, that started your exhaustion. See, we're going to have to work until Jesus comes. It's not we're going to get saved and money's going to start flowing in and man, we're going to have it made because we became a Christian. We have to work. The Lord has blessed our church and it has grown, and I've had the opportunity to mentor many young men, but I remember one in particular. He came to me and he said, okay, I want to know what you did to grow. And I said, we prayed, we loved people, and we worked. He said, that's good. I believe that. But what did you do to make it happen? And I said, we prayed, we loved people, and we worked. He said, no, I know that's the spiritual answer, but I want to know, what did you do? I said, let me tell you one more time. I don't know any secret formula other than to work until Jesus comes. Pray and love people. I just want to tell you, living for the Lord, we're going to work. But one day, hallelujah, we're going to lay down our burden. One day, we're going to receive a robe and a crown of righteousness. One day, we're going to be rewarded. But you keep working until that day. Now here, Gideon goes, and he starts collecting an army. And I'm going to try to hurry through this. I want you to hear. He gets 32,000 men. Boom! Like that, 32,000. You talking about growth. Woo, Brother Roy, wouldn't you like that? Pastors here, wouldn't you like that? Man, the Lord's told me to get an army, no problem. And 32,000 show up. Woo! Glory! Let's have revival! Until you look on the other side. And when you look on the other side, there was 134,000. He already was in a 102,000 deficit. But basically, Gideon says, I'm going to do what God says to do. God called Gideon to the side. And he said, Gideon, you've had a good growth, 32,000, but you got too many. Huh? I don't want to hear that. Oh, Lord, no, 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 not too many. We've got 32,000. I need over 134 just to match up with these folks. And God said, no, you've got too many. And can you just imagine Gideon's number crunch? When the numbers start becoming a problem, maybe some pastors. Now, I'll just be very honest with you. When I was called to preach, I was called to preach when I was 15 years old. About 2 to 3 weeks after I was called to preach, we were having a powerful service, and I went and laid down in the floor in the altar, face down. And I said, dear God, and this is crazy, a 15-year-old, but this is what I said, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll do anything you want me to do. I just want to know that you'll take care of my family. I wasn't married. I wasn't dating anybody. But that was my prayer. And let me tell you what, God spoke to me. He spoke to me there in that altar, and he said, you will never beg bread. That's all he said to me. I got up from there a changed man. I knew by those words that no matter where I went, that God was going to take care of me. Now, God might not have spoken that to you yet, but you might not have asked him yet. But I just want to tell you, with his hand on you, you're not going to beg bread. The psalmist said, I was young and now I'm old, and yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And when Jackie and I were at our first church, literally, we lived below the poverty level. I am not exaggerating. When we'd go and have our taxes done, it was embarrassing. Our tax preparer would, he'd say, how are y'all living? Your church is starving you guys to death. And we had people who thought we were rich. Every time we needed, oh God, help me right here. This isn't in my notes, but someone needs to hear it. We walked into the kitchen one time, and we had three canned goods left in the house. One was hominy. I don't like hominy. I don't even know why hominy was in our cabinet. Another one was canned spinach. I'll eat spinach now, but back then I wasn't hungry enough to open that can yet. And there was one other. None of it appealed to me. I was like, oh, what in the world? And my wife and I, we had a little daughter, and things were tough. We didn't know where we were going to get groceries. And we walked out our back door and at night and did not know that there was bag after bag after bag after bag of groceries laid out there. We almost fell over the groceries. We didn't know they were there. To this day, no one has owned up to it. No family, no friends, nobody. I don't know if God just sent an angel to shop and say, put it there at 1215 Sierra Drive. But I just want to tell you, God had told me, you'll never beg bread. And when I walked out of my back door, there was provision for me. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. I've got to hurry here real quick. I want you to hear, it reduces down. It reduces down. And now God tells Gideon, he says, tell the people who are afraid to go. And so they leave. And now... God said, it's still too many. And listen to this. What God had told them, take them to the water and how they drink. I've often, like, what in the world was the deal with the drinking? But some of them, he said, the ones that get down on their hands and knees and lap like a dog, those aren't the ones you want. You want the ones that cup the water. And here's what the difference was. When the ones were down on their hands and knees and their face was down in the water, all they were interested was for their own need. I don't care if the enemy is coming in. I don't care if the enemy is about to attack. I've got my face in the water and I'm going to drink because it's all about me. But God said the one that takes the water and they're still watching. They're watching for their brother. They're watching for their sister. They're getting a drink of water, but they still are taking. Those are the ones that you can be counted on. Some people, when the going gets tough, they're gone. But my Lord, those who are winners are the ones who say, I've got your back, Bishop. You just lead us and I'm ready to roll. I've got your back, Pastor. You just lead us and whatever you tell us, by God's help and grace, we're going to make it happen. We're watching out for you. Now listen, what the deal was is Gideon had too much man. God said, if you go out with these, you're going to come back. Come on. You're going to come back. Look at what we did. Woohoo! Look at that. Check me out. Look at what I was able to get done. And I just will tell you, I have fallen into that trap more than one time. Yeah. When you're, y'all pastors, you'll understand this. When you're in a tight, it's the Lord's church. When everything is going good, look at what, man, the church are doing. When it's going bad, God, it's your church. You said it was your church. But listen to this. He had too much man. My numbers keep getting cut. I crunch my numbers. It looks like every time I get a little bit ahead, something happens. Look here. Brother Roy and I were talking just before we walked in. At Bethesda, it's a strong church and still doing well. But just as we would get traction, COVID would hit again. We opened up and had this big celebration with our choir. Man, it was a powerful Sunday. Whew. COVID swept through. We had to shut it back down again. So, Pastor, understand, right now we're trying to get traction. But it's still God's church. And it's not by our might. And it's not by our power. But it's by His might and by His power. Oh, someone needs to hear that right now. When you're at your lowest point. But listen, God needed to cut the numbers so He would get the glory. Gideon had too much man. Understand, there's two kinds of glory. There is the intrinsic glory. That's the one that is the glory built in that He had from the foundations of the world, that He's always had, the glory of God. And then there is another glory called the ascribed glory, and that's the glory we give Him. That's when we praise Him. That's when we honor Him. When we feel like it, when we don't feel like it. When we're tired or when we're energetic, we give Him the ascribed glory. I like it how, and I'm sure this praise team has sung songs like this. When I think of His goodness and what He's done for me, makes me want to shout. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. As Andre Crouch wrote, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Oh, yeah. I would like for someone to be willing to sing out when they don't feel like singing, shouting when they don't feel like shouting. Now, it takes Gideon to the water, God does, or the angel does, and says, number is still too high, and the people that drink the proper way, those are the ones that he is now able to keep, and it's only 300 going against 134,000. Next, Gideon needs some weapons to fight with. Are y'all with me? God told him to go. God is so funny. God is so funny. Okay, Gideon, I've cut you down to 300. Now go get some good weapons. All right, Lord, where can I get them? Okay, what I need you to go do is get some clay jars and get some trumpets. Okay, Lord, that sounds good. Now, what do you really want me to go get? I want you to go get some clay jars and get some trumpets. Lord, you don't understand. Have you ever said that? You might not have said it, but you've thought it. When God tells you, give, and you're going, you don't understand. I don't have enough to give what you're telling me to give. And God said, give anyway. Well, God, you don't understand. No one else is standing up and praising God. And you're telling me to stand up and praise God. God's saying, do what I tell you to do. You might be right now, my Lord God, going to a situation where you tell someone, or where God tells you, go pray for that person. God, I can't go pray for that person. They've got money. They're rich. I'm a nothing. I'm a peon. And God says, go anyway. Listen, when you get to the place where you're fully obedient, when you get to the place where you say, my pride is crucified. I don't care if it's the president or if it's a pauper. I don't care if it's popular or not. I'm going to do what you tell me to do now. So he does it. And listen to this. He's now with 300. He gets the clay jars. He gets the trumpets. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The weapons that God has for us are mighty to the tearing down of strongholds. He uses silly weapons. He uses hallelujahs. Judah, I was watching y'all today, and if y'all praise like my son-in-law does, my son-in-law would have been right up in the midst with you. Y'all look like y'all were being electrocuted. Y'all look like, what in the world's happening to me? Ooh, the power of God is, I saw one like this. I saw another one like this. What was happening? God was using silly praise, and it was blessing our hearts. Come on. Amen. See, we've got so much pride and dignity. Man, come on. Those who know you know where you came from, knows who you really are, but God uses the dance. He uses the praise as our weapon, the clapping of hands, glory to God. Have you ever had, I like that one, well, glory, Bishop. Have you ever got a blessing and you'd go, hallelujah, but it was like you couldn't get up, so you go, glory. And I felt a little bit better, but then all of a sudden it's like, no. I got to get this. Well, glory. It's like something has to come up from your innermost being. Well, God uses that. Now, the key to the battle was Gideon says, I want you to do what I do. Okay, I'm about to close. I need you to hear this. He was saying, I need you to do what I do. I don't need this group over here sleeping while we are trying to have church. While they are up singing, we don't need to be out there drinking coffee. Gideon was saying, it's amazing. But it reminds me of a scripture over in the book of Acts. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one mind and one accord. He was saying, we're getting ready to fight, but we got to be unified in what we're doing. And when we do it, God's going to use our silliness. God's going to use what the world would laugh at us about, and he's going to produce. I had a person call me and said, does your church believe in divine healing and the laying on of hands? And I said, absolutely. I was expecting her to give me a negative response. She said, praise God, that's what I've been looking for. People have told me that that no longer is available in the house of God. I just want to tell you, I don't understand how we lay hands on the sick and they recover. I don't understand putting oil on someone's head and they're healed. I don't understand a spoken word and people rise up. I don't understand that in the natural, but in the spiritual, it happens. So here, they are in one mind, they're in one accord, and so he tells them, I need you to get in three companies, company of 100 here, company of 100 there. And Judah, if y'all don't mind, I want you to go ahead and get ready with some kind of praise song, whichever. Let it be upbeat. Don't let this one be soft, all right? And so here's what happened in closing. These people are now around 134,000 people. 300. That's minuscule. 300 surrounding 134,000. They got their lamps. Yeah, boy. And they got their trumpets. Before the enemy gets us, if you're listening to it, carnally, you're going to be like this. Well, at least they're going to hear some good music before they kill us. But no, no. What happened? He got to a place and he gathered them and they broke the lamps when he told them to break the lamps. They blew the trumpets when he said, blow the trumpets. And then they shouted to God. And the Bible says the enemy got confused. And the enemy started killing themselves. 300 people got to watch 134,000 people turn on each other. Now, I've got to tell you this. It started out with 32,000. Do you understand most of that 32,000 did not get to see this mighty miracle? I want to be right in the midst of it, brother. I want to be where signs and miracles and wonders are happening. I don't want to be one that went home because I was afraid. I want to be right there where it's happening. Now listen to this. They broke the lamps. They blew the trumpets. And a great battle took place among them. And the enemy took off. And the Bible tells us that Gideon and his men got to the water of Jordan, tired and faint. It would have been good enough to say, we run them off. But some devils don't need to be run off. They need to be destroyed. Y'all hear me? Oh God, I'm trying. Please hear this. There's some generational curses that I believe that come on people. This one got divorced. This next generation got divorced. This next generation got divorced because the devil wasn't stopped. I think we need today to blow the trumpet in Zion. We need to shout with the voice of triumph and break the generational curse. Listen, drug addict. Daddy was a drug addict. This one was a drug addict. The grandchild was a drug addict. Somebody has to step up and say, oh, no, 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 it stops here. I'm tired, but I'm going to keep pursuing. The kings of Midian had crossed over. It would have been good enough to say good riddance, but they said, no, we're faint, but they're not getting away. We're going to completely destroy them. They're not going to come back next week. They're not going to come back a month from now. No, no. My family's going to have victory. My church is going to have the glory of God. I want to tell you today, the power of God is ready to work. We might be tired, but we're winners. Okay. We already have. Here's what I'm going to do here. I just need a few of you. If you would, just go over to this section, okay? And then if a few of you, well, you can stay where you are, but from here over, you're on that side. From here over, you're over here. And then you're the third group. Gideon had 300. Would you stand with me? He put 100. Put another 100 and put another 100. He said, I need you to do as I do. I want this group over here. You're my hallelujah group. So I want you to practice real quick. I want to hear hallelujah like your life depends on it. Ready? One, two, three. All right. Yeah. Now understand, your hallelujah has to do something. The enemy's after your children. The enemy's after your home. The enemy's after your church. Your enemy's after your pocketbook. The enemy's, oh, you've got to get after your enemy. Now, we got another group over here. And this group right here, what I want you to do is you are going to clap your hands. Now,
Gideon told them to break the lamps, and when they broke the jars, rather, when they broke the jars, the lamps was shining. So there was a crashing sound. So we're just going to do that by clapping our hands, okay? One, two, three, clap your hands. Okay. And then he wanted them to shout out. He wanted them to shout the voice of triumph. The God of Gideon, he's given us the victory. They started pronouncing victory. They started declaring victory. They didn't have all the victory they wanted, but they were getting ready to have it. So let me hear a little bit of praise out of you right here. Okay, one, two, three.
God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom.
Okay, get ready. Here we are over here. Come on. No. Your life depends on it. Your babies. Come on. Come on over here.
Sing, God is fighting. God is fighting for us. Pushing all right. Back.
All right, here we go. Now I want you to picture a devil right here in church. I want you to picture the devil himself. I'm going to get you. I'm going to destroy you. What you looking at? You think you're bad. You think you're powerful. I'm going to tear you down. Oh, y'all think you can sing me out of here. But you can't sing me out of here. But the Bible says when the people of God broke the drum, broke the lamp, when they shouted and when they blew the trumpet, the enemy got confused. I believe we're getting ready to run a devil right on out of here right now. Now, just before we run him out, I want you to picture what you need him to leave with. Go ahead and pile it on him. You're not going to take and torment my mind anymore. I'm not going to leave here with anxiety. I'm not going to leave here with depression. I'm not going to leave here with addiction. I'm not going to leave here with my problem. You're leaving, and you're taking my problems with you. Okay, on the count of three, I want the music to start. I want the hallelujahs to start. I want the hands to start clapping. And with the voice of triumph right now, I want you to get ready for God to run the devil out of your life in Jesus' name. Here we go. On the count of three. One, two, three.
God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken.
God is fighting.
Mic over to our bishop, but I want to say this: they that wait upon the Lord, you might be tired right now, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
Give the Lord a clap offering of praise. I'm not going to give a formal dismissal. I'm going to ask Judah to sing us out for two more minutes. That song, God bless you. We will see you tonight. Sing us out of here, guys.
God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Shout it out, shout it out. God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated, and we will shout it out, shout it out. Shout it out, shout it out.